Tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Let me just review from last week, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 9 this evening. Paul here in chapter 3 is speaking to us about seeking spiritual values as believers. He says, "Since then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." You know, I think it's really hard to realize that we are dead people, that we have died, and that the life that we live now, we live by faith in Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit, because it's so easy to get caught up and to, you know, with this world and the things of the world, and to lose, you know, your priority or keeping the main thing. Especially in the days that we're living in, with so much going on. The war in Iraq and, you know, things happening in China and South America, Central America, and over in the South Pacific. And there seems to be so many problems and situations. But then at the same time, we know that this is not our home. We don't live here. We're only renting here. One of these days, we're going to be gone. And to me, it's always so good to be able to be reminded by Paul, by the Holy Spirit, that I am not to set my mind on the things of this world, but to set my mind on the things above, where I'm going to spend eternity. Especially, you know how the devil likes to play tricks with our minds. If you're going through something, or you're facing some problem or situation, or maybe your husband just left or your wife left, or your children are not with you any longer, it can become a time when Satan will come in and will begin to attack your mind. And that's why if we set our minds on the things of heaven, then we're going to have that joy and that peace, because we know that everything in this world is temporal, but the things of heaven are eternal. For all eternity, we're going to be with Christ. And everything we face today is just for a little while, because Jesus is coming. And we realize that we have, past tense, died. And my life now is hidden with Christ in God. And then verse 4, he tells you, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him. What a blessed thing it is to know that when Jesus comes again, I am going to be coming with Him, because He is coming to take me home at the rapture of the church. I'm going to be with Him. That's why Jesus, in speaking to His own disciples right before He was going to the cross, it was a time of bleakness. It was a time of depression. He knew that He was going to die. And He told the Father, "Father, not my will, but Your will be done." And so before He did that, what did He tell His disciples? "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in Me, believe also that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm coming back again to receive you unto Myself, so that where I am, you also will be with Me." What a blessed assurance, those words that Jesus left for us. That when I go through a situation or a problem, or I'm going through a trial, and I feel like I'm walking through the valley in the shadow of death, "I will fear no evil, for Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." The Scriptures begin to come to my mind. as I read them, as I memorize them, as I meditate upon them. That's what lifts me up. But when you start thinking of your past and you start thinking of those things that bring you down, they will keep you down. We need to look to Him as the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that's given us great hope in Him. He is the only one that can appease our hearts and our minds. He is the only one that can bring real comfort in our lives. And if we know those things, then now Paul is going to say this to us, then put to death, verse 5, your members, which is your flesh, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And we've dealt with these last week very plainly. Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. He reminds us of what we used to be in the past, but He also reminds us what we are in the present today. We have a new life. We have a new speech. You see? We have a new heart. We have a new walk. And that's really important. Because many times as believers, we forget that we have been transformed. We have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, He says this. He says, but now He's going to deal with the social sins of our life. But now you yourselves, He says, put off. And then in verse 10, put on. You see? Put off, put on. Here the word that He uses, put on and put off, it's an image of taking off and putting on clothing, which was widespread in the ancient world where Paul lived. The putting on of a garment and taking off a garment. And yet here, Paul the Apostle is mentioning to us about putting off and putting on the garment of righteousness. This new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, why do I say that? Because in the Old Testament, these things were never ever mentioned to remove our sinful, corrupt nature are never mentioned in the Old Testament, only in the New Testament. They're mentioned to put off. These things that will bring you down, these things that will destroy you. And think for a moment, how many of us tonight have a real problem with anger? Anger. This kind of anger that He's talking about here is that deep down, burning, boiling inside anger that one day will explode and will hurt a lot of people. You're working on the site and you hit your thumb and you have a hammer in your hand and you just chuck it. That's the kind of anger He's talking about. Because then you got to go chase your hammer anyways. But that's what He's talking about. Not being in control, but bursting out and people can see it. Or you get red-faced and your eyes look like you're full of demonology. Like all these demons are ready to burst, you know, through your eyeballs. Maybe your face doesn't get red, but your ears, they turn red, red, red. Boiling anger that boils over deep down inside. Put off. Put off. One of my problems that I had all my life was anger. And I still have to deal with it. And I've learned that when I start boiling, and you start really, I mean, you know, it's weird. I mean, this kind of anger is weird because you're sitting there and all of a sudden, you get hot. And, you know, and I used to be very vocal about it, or I'd be very physical about it. But you know what? As a Christian now, what I've learned is to stop and leave and take a walk. Let it all out. And you know what? Allow God to speak to my heart, because the Holy Spirit convicts me immediately. The sin will take place if you don't control it and you speak out and you do what you're not supposed to do, then that's sin. But the moment you feel like you're getting angry, starting to get red and hot, say, excuse me, and go out. Why? Because if you say the things that you're going to say, stab, 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 listen, it's very hard to apologize later and to take it back, because the wounds remained. You already did the damage. And there's a lot of husbands and a lot of wives that are verbal abusers with their children, with their husbands, with their wives, with people. It's sad, but it happens. And these are things that he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to the church, to those that fellowship in the church. Those that have that anger problem, deep down, burning anger inside that is getting ready to boil out and to strike like the cobra, full of poison. And then wrath. And this is flaming anger. When you fly out and you display it now publicly. Publicly, you display it. And people know you as a hot-tempered person. Here comes bad temper. They know you. Think of how many wives have to keep things from husbands that are like this, because they just lose it. You can't talk to them. They get angry with wrath. If you're here tonight and you have that kind of anger, or the other kind of anger, listen, we need to put it off. We need to reckon it dead. The old man is dead, and we are today Christians. We are children of the light. He's going to tell us in a moment what we should really put on too. Then, malice. That is speaking evil. When you speak evil of someone else, or you're just speaking evil things to people. And blasphemy, again, is when you're coming to that place, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God, and you're speaking against the things of God. Be careful. Filthy language, dirty jokes. Sit around and you tell dirty jokes, or obscene language, rotten language, filthy language. You know, sit around with your friends and you start using four-letter words. Or you start jesting filthy. Be careful of that. As a child of God, we're not supposed to do that anymore. It should not be coming out of our mouth. Why? Because Jesus said, everything that proceeds out of the mouth comes from where? The heart. That's where your heart really is. All those things. Murder. Stealing. Covetousness. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. And then the next one in verse 9, this one I think is for every one of us. Stop lying to one another. It's better to tell the truth than to tell a lie. Why? Because every time you lie, you got to cover it up. You're just digging a hole for yourself. If you're a husband and a wife, you should be able to talk to each other the truth, not keeping anything from each other. You don't want to ruin your marriage. Not only that, you're teaching your children to be liars. You see? Especially when you have your children with you and they hear you literally lie out loud. And they see you do it. And then when they lie, you spank them. That's inconsistency. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's better to say the truth than to lie, because then you got to cover for yourself. And then when you cover for yourself and you tell the truth, people won't trust you. They won't trust you. They go, well, he's a liar. Or she's a liar. You see? That's why it's really important that we understand that these things that Paul is mentioning here is not just because he's mentioning them, but because it is a problem in the body of Christ with believers, not non-believers. They have their problems too. But he's talking to us that have the truth of Jesus Christ within our hearts, and we're supposed to be speaking truth to one another and no longer lying to one another. And that's why he says, do not lie to one another, since you know that you have put off the old man with all of his works. You see? How do we do it? We starve it to death. We kill it. Starve it to death. Don't feed it. And then fill it. What's the solution for that? Fill it with the Word of God. Fill it by speaking truth. Going back and making things right with people that you lied to and say, you know what? I am so sorry. But I did not speak the truth to you. That's what God desires. So these things he's talking about is putting off. Now he's going to tell you, put on. What do we put on? Verse 10. Hear now the believer strengthening the new man. He says, and now I have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Jesus Christ, who created him. Notice now the progress of the new man. That's what he's talking about now. We need to dress spiritually now what we are in Jesus Christ. A regenerated man, a regenerated woman have a new life and a new self. We're totally changed. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says this about the new man too. Let me go back here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, but to each one, he says, of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then he goes down to verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying to each other, speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who steals, steal no more. But rather let him labor working with his hands, which is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and necessary for the building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. What grieves the Holy Spirit of God? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you in all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. That's what he desires. Putting off and putting on. Now, watch what he says here in verse 10 again. He says, and now that you have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Progress of the new man. He begins to grow spiritually through the Word of God. Putting to death the old nature. He becomes more like Christ daily according to the Scripture. You see? People have to see Christ in us. By the way we behave, by the way we do things, and our actions speak louder than our words. So it's really important that if we recognize that we are children of the light and we have become believers, then these things no longer should be governing, ruling over my life. But I should do now, watch this. Verse 11. And whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcised nor circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ all in all. So here, we don't have to have this kind of life any longer. What he's saying here, we don't have to have distinctions in Jesus Christ anymore. We're all in Christ now. Because so many times we make excuses and say, well, the reason that I'm so hot-tempered is because I'm Latin. Oh, give me a break. You know what I'm saying? Or I'm Polish. Or I'm Italian, you know? What does that have to do with it? You're a sinner. Your father, Adam, you know, is the one that taught us all these things. We have a sinful nature. It's not because of our nationality or where we live or who our parents are. I mean, you know, little children, you don't have to teach them. You know, when they get to be about 1 year old, you have to tell your husband, say, now, husband, we're going to have to teach our child how to lie, okay? You don't do that. Or how do you, they learn automatically. You know, they have guilty looks when they lie. Did you eat the piece of cake? And there's all kinds of cake in their mouth. And they can straight lie to your face with cake in their mouth. Because we've all been in it. You see, little kids are like that. But as grown-ups, how many times without the cake? We can look at someone in the face, nope, I didn't do it. And you know you did. And then you leave and you get all convicted. Oh man, why did I lie? You got to go back and make it right. Because now Paul says, listen, we are a new man. We have a new partnership with Christ. Everything has to do with Jesus Christ. Everything. When he says here again, verse 12, look, here is the characteristics. Therefore, because of this, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Wow. That's a hard one. Because here, literally in the Greek, it means the deep feelings or deep compassion. To really be compassionate toward other people. Can we be compassionate with people? Sometimes it's hard. But yet this is what the new man should be. We should not be judgmental. We should not be, you know, making people feel guilty. But we should be able to be, as God's elect and holy or set apart and beloved of God, to put on tender mercies and listen with kindness. That is sweet goodness or caring for people. I was so blessed today, and I want to thank you to see all these people come here to Calvary Chapel to pick up those bags of grocery in Turkey. So cool. From all over. People that would never have a good Christmas this year apart from you giving to them. So cool. How we thank God for you. Thank God for you. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's kindness. That's, you know, mercies. That's humbleness. When you give to people like that. Because God's blessed you with so much, and then you see your neighbor, you see someone that you know that they have a bunch of children and they're not going to have a good Christmas. Man, how blessed it is that if I take it out of my own heart and something that I may have put away that is for myself and give it to somebody else, that is truly giving with compassion and kindness for those that don't have. And that's what Christmas is all about. Being kind. It's not about the gift you give, but it's the kindness of Christ coming out of all eternity to die for the sins of the world. He was compassionate for us. And if he is our example, how much more you and I need to be compassionate to one another, for one another. Maybe you have a neighbor that, you know, doesn't like you. Be compassionate. Be forgiven. Be loving. Pour love into that person. Because you know what? Sooner or later, he's going to be so overwhelmed by that love that he has to break down one day. And when he's in trouble, here's who he's going to come. He's going to come to you. Because he's going to remember how compassionate you were. Even though he was really bad to you, you be good to him in the Lord. And you know what? God will bless you for it. Because that's the new nature in Christ Jesus. Put on tender mercies, kindness, and then humility, humbleness. And how about this one? Meekness. That is to be gentle, or a willingness to be kind to others. And what I did is, if you take the word meekness, put a slash right in the middle of the E and the K. And what you say is me-ick, if you put it between the two E's. Me-ickness. What does it mean? Because, you know, in our own lives, you know, we don't like to be gentle, but we're harsh with people. And yet Jesus was as gentle as a lamb. Compassionate, humble, you see, loving, caring. And that's what it's all about. That's why we're celebrating this whole week Christmas. It's a time of not receiving, it's a time of giving. Giving to others. Showing kindness, showing love. And if we could do that 365 days a year, can you imagine what place this world would be? But we have selfishness. And we have people that don't care. Evil people that are mean and they hate people. And this Christmas Eve, there'll be people meeting in different homes with different families. Some families will be drinking and there'll be fights and there'll be cursing and there'll be all kinds of weird things, and the children will not have a good Christmas and they'll see all these things, and yet they forget what it's all about. But if you're a child of God, hey, be kind. Be compassionate. Be humble. Be merciful. Forgive. They don't know Christ. It doesn't mean that you agree with their sin or that you have to be there. But don't lose your witness as a child of God, especially now that you have a new nature in Christ Jesus. That you're a child of God. That's what Paul is trying to get across there. Look, this is who you are now. You used to be over here. This is what you are now. Then he said this. This is so cool. He says, not only humility and meekness, but long suffering. Man, I hate that one. Patience. I'm an impatient person. I'll tell you that. It means long time to boil. That's what it means. Long time to boil. Man, it takes a long time to boil. Being long-suffering toward people. That's part of being loved. That's a virtue that Christ gives to us completely. Verse 13, bearing with one another. This is in reference here to the false teachers. They were in the church of Colossae. And what Paul is saying, look, they're false teachers. They've taught false doctrine. But if they repent, be ready to receive them. You see? Be ready to receive them. Listen, do you know a person or anyone that has harmed you or come against you and they have repented? The question is this, have you forgiven them? Have you taken them back? You see? That's what Paul is teaching here to these guys. These false teachers that you did not want to have nothing to do with, if they come to a place of repentance, then you need to forgive them. Just as Christ forgave you. Look what he says. bearing one another and forgiving one another. Don't hold grudges. It will consume you. It will kill you. It will bring forth disease in your stomach, and it could even bring cancer if you're not forgiving, if you hold grudges. It's sad. I had an aunt that, because of her life, the life that she had, she became real bitter. And whenever you would sit down with her to talk to her, everything was negative and everything was malicious and everything was against people. And she was not forgiving. And then she got cancer. And even to the point in her sickness, she still was holding on in the gall of bitterness. And then I got to share with her, and about 3 weeks before she passed away, she made peace with God and peace with everybody else, and she went to heaven. But what breaks my heart sometimes is when people, even till they go to be wherever they're going, if they don't go to be with the Lord and they're going to hell, some people, because of their pride and because of so many years of bitterness, they will go to their grave in bitterness. And we need to learn to forgive and forget. Especially as we get older, if you don't adapt this when you're young and you hold on to grudges and unforgiveness, when you get older, it will be harder for you. It's like a callus. The moment that happens to you, whatever it may be, make sure that you have made it right. Even Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said that if you have something against someone, if you want to be forgiven, he says you make sure that you don't bring your offering to the altar, but you go and you make things right with that person. And then when you make things right with that person, you come back and you can give your offering. Listen, if I go to someone and I'm honest about it and I forgive them, but they don't want to forgive me, listen, I've done my job. That's between them and God. I can go forward and have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. Because there are people like that, where you're trying to make everything right, but they don't want to make things right. They don't like you. They hate you. And you go out of your way over and over and over, like taking the sacrifice, leaving it here, going there, and then coming back and giving the offering. And even if you feel even guilty, you go back again and you say, look, I'm sorry. If I hurt you, I am sorry. I take full responsibility. And you see in their faces that they say, you know what? We don't care. We don't like you. Get out of here. That's bitterness. That's hatefulness. And as Christians, we should never have that kind of an attitude. We should be forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another person, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do the same. Notice that. Who's our example? Jesus. Jesus. Don't make excuses. Jesus is the one that is our great example when it comes to forgiveness. And I say that with all my heart because I know that there are people that have a real problem with forgiveness. And this is Christmas coming up, and you're going to be meeting with loved ones and friends that maybe loved ones that you haven't talked for years and you haven't seen them, and maybe for the first time you're going to see them. Listen, don't bring up the past. Look to the future and be able to be loving and kind and forgiving toward them. Make peace. If they don't forgive you, that's between them and the Lord. But make sure that your heart is right before God so that God can bless you and God can use you. And this is so cool. Verse 14. But above all, what do we do? All these, above all these things, put on what? Agape love. The most important in Christian life. Without love, we are nothing. Nothing. You see, if we don't have love, and we speak in tongues, and we prophesy, and we witness, and we go to church, and we read our Bibles, but if we don't have love, it's all in vain. It's of no value. The Christian life is centered by love. Love is the factor. agape. We need to love. Why? Because agape love is a love that is not taking, but it's always giving. It's always forgiving. Always. Never retaliates. Never judges. You see? That's the love that we are to put on in our lives. Because that's the love of Christ. And then what else? Verse 15. Priorities now for the new man. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Number one, make sure that the peace of God rules over your life. Why? It's the opposite of what? Anxiety. If you're an anxious people, the scripture says what? Be anxious for nothing, but everything through prayer in Jesus Christ. Through prayer. Don't be anxious. If you're having anxiety attacks, listen, learn about the peace of God. You need the peace of God in your life to rule over your hearts. Secondly, to which also you were called in one body, and be, secondly, thankful. We need to be thankful. We need to have a spirit of thanksgiving before God. Being thankful for God, to everything He's given to us. Being thankful for our family, friends, loved ones, for our job, for our house, for our car, for everything God's given to me. Lord, I am so thankful that you've given me all these things. And then, verse 16, notice, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. This is really important. The word of God. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we come on Sunday morning. We come on Sunday night. That's why every day at home or at the job, what do? We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God and we pray. So that we can grow and mature. The greatest wealth we can have in this life is the Word of God. Richly, the wisdom that the Word of God brings to our lives. The Word of God, four things. Number one, heed it in your heart. Handle it and hide it and then hold it. And then notice, feed upon it daily. We need to do that. We need to obey it. We need to listen to it. We need to handle it. We need to hide it in our hearts. And as we do that, the Word of God will become part of our life, more of our life every day. And it will be good for you. And it will be good for others. Why? Because you'll be growing in Christ. Look what else he says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And you see, and now as we're in the word of God and you're hearing the message, or you're sitting down doing a Bible study by yourself, or going through your devotionals, notice what he's exhorting you to do too. He says, and also teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, I cannot sing, but in my quiet time, I can sing. When nobody's around. I love singing to the Lord. You know? Why? Because he doesn't care how you sing. You see? He's not going, okay, enough. Don't, no more. He's going, all right, that's cool. And you're off key, you know, so he don't care. But look what he says. Admonishing one another in Psalms, which is what? The book of Psalms? 150 Psalms that we can look at and read. The songs of David. And then the hymns, those are church hymns. You know, the old hymns that we used to sing, and sometimes we sing. And then spiritual songs, these are personal songs that God will give to you. Personal songs that God will give to you in your time of reading the Word of God, meditating upon it, feeding upon it. God will do these things in your life. And then I love this. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's so cool. Singing in your heart, with grace in your heart to the Lord. And verse 17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, notice what he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hey, we need to live a life now in Christ as a new man. And we have to lean never again in the old man or the old ways, but we need to learn and to continue to walk in the new ways that God has given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Put off, put on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Father, we come before you, Lord Jesus, to thank you so much for your grace and your love and your mercies. And Lord God, for everything that you have given to each one of us individually, Father, this manna from heaven, Lord God, that we receive from you, Lord. And Father, as we look at the next verse, you're going to deal now with marriage, relationships, with husbands, with wives, with children, with employers and employees. Lord God, we pray that in the next week, you would prepare our hearts to receive exhortation. And Father, to be open, Father, especially to hear about marriage, and to hear how we should live our lives as employers and employees, and how we should serve, and how we should obey. So Father, we ask you for your wisdom. And we ask you, Lord, that you would be with your people, touching them, anointing them, using them. And Father, that you would bring joy to our hearts tonight, Lord God, and that you would fill us with your peace that passes all understanding. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for the church of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, in these days that are ahead of us, Lord, we pray, Father, that you would teach us, lead us, guide us, that you would bless us, Father, that you would give us the insight and the wisdom, Father, to win all of our communities to Christ and the world for Christ Jesus. Lord, bless your people. Father, if any of them are sick, heal them. If any weak, strengthen them. If any have financial problems, Lord God, bless them. Lord, use our lives to bring glory and honor to your name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.